2016 is being called an outburst year for the Perseid meteor shower. According to Tom Wilmich, director of the Illinois State University Planetarium, that means the annual event can be twice as good, with more than usual meteors. And that's big news, considering just how tiny some meteors can be.
Often not much bigger than a grain of sand that fall to Earth. And as they streak through the atmosphere, they leave that bright flash of light in their wake. Now, you have sporadic meteors where you just see, on average, maybe about 8 meteors per hour after midnight on any typical clear night. But periodically, the Earth passes through these thick streams of debris. The debris is left behind in the wake of a comet orbiting the sun that passes near the Earth. And when you have a meteor shower, what occurs, the Earth actually sails through that stream of debris, and we pick up all this space junk, these particles, mostly of ice, but also flakes of metal. Pieces of rock. Yeah, little flakes of metal, pieces of rock. All that naturally formed very early in the history of our solar system. This debris is like 4.5 billion years old, and, well, here's its final moments as it falls to Earth. But the Earth sails through this stuff, and then we get what's called a meteor shower, where you can see 100 or more potential meteors in an hour.
How long have we known about the Perseids meteor shower? Has this been going on for many, many, many centuries?
The last time the comet passed through that left this debris was in 1992. But the first time when the comet was discovered was back in 1862. No doubt the Perseids had been seen before then, but that's when we started to recognize the comet that the shower is associated with.
What's it called?
It's Comet Swift-Tuttle.
Swift-Tuttle, named after the guys who discovered it, I would imagine.
Right, two astronomers from that era, Swift and Tuttle.
Well, how long can we count on being able to see the Perseid meteor shower? Is this something that's going to last well into the future?
Eventually, the comet Swift-Tuttle will make one too many passages around the sun. It'll crumble apart in the debris, and that'll be the end of it. After that, slowly the Perseid meteor shower will wind down. Now, that debris will continue to drift in space for a long, long time, but eventually, yes, it'll fade away.
2016 is called an outburst year for the Perseid meteor shower. What does that mean?
Well, what happened back about 16 months ago, the planet Jupiter slightly nudged the stream of debris, the gravity of Jupiter.
Oh, good old Jupiter.
Yes, and so as a result, we're going to go through an especially kind of dense bit of the stream.
Of the stream.
And so we should see an exceptionally good Perseid shower this year. Now, it's really difficult to predict these things. So what we see precisely, who can say? Classically, the Perseid meteor shower is a great one. It's reliable. It happens right around the 11th, the 12th of August every year. It gradually builds up to its peak at that time. So you can see Perseid meteors easily a week before or after the shower. So if we do get some bad weather, well, it's not the end of things.
You do have another shot at it.
Right. Go out for the next few nights afterwards. And the Perseids is particularly good for fireballs.
Fireballs?
Right. Really spectacular meteors that are brighter than even a planet. And I've seen many a fireball associated with the Perseid meteor shower over the years. So it's really something, this is a shower worth watching.
We don't have to worry about any of this stuff, you know, falling to Earth and causing chaos.
Right. Nobody's ever been killed by a meteor. Nobody's ever been clonked on the head. So you don't need to worry about that.
Okay. Let's talk about best viewing for this year's Perseid meteor shower. First of all, where? Out of town, I presume?
Right. There are two things that make it hard to see a meteor shower. One, of course, streetlights. And if you're under any streetlights at all, wow, it has a huge impact. Where you might see 60 to 100 meteors per hour, well, if you're under streetlights, you'll be lucky to see just a handful. You might not see any at all. So you really want to get out from streetlights. The other troublemaker is, well, the moon.
We can't do anything about that.
No, that's one that's hard to get out from under. And we do have a moon in the sky Thursday night, but
not a full moon.
Not a full moon, right. The moon will be setting between midnight and 1 in the morning. Now, if you have to get up the next morning, well, okay, you're going to be up late. But what you want to do is get out somewhere truly clear and dark. If you are going to go out and try to view the shower earlier in the evening, at least to get in the shadow of the moon. The moon will be bright enough, it will cast shadows potentially on the ground. You want to stand on the side of your house or where have you, in the shadows at least, and try to get your eyes darkened down. And it does take your eyes, anywhere from 15, 20 minutes to maybe half an hour to grow used to the dark. And it's only once you're fully dark adapted that you're really going to see the fainter meteors as well.
So we don't need a telescope. We don't need binoculars. We can just go with our own peepers.
Right. This deal is free, and you don't have to have any equipment at all. Matter of fact, if you use a telescope, well, it's without a doubt you'll be looking in the wrong direction when the meteor strikes by, streaks by.
Uh-huh.
And same goes with binoculars. This is a naked eye kind of thing. What you want to do is put on plenty of warm clothes. And you might say, wait a minute, it's been 80-some degrees during the day. But you know, if you watch those nighttime temperatures, it's dropping down quite a bit. I mean, into the 60s, or
right.
It was at least. So you want to have some warm clothes with you and maybe lay out one of those lounge chairs.
Yeah.
And just, again, someplace where it's dark and hopefully fairly clear. Clouds, of course, that'll do you in as well for a meteor shower. But lay out one of those lounge chairs and just sort of lay back and gaze off. You're going to want to look in the direction of the constellation Perseus, which sort of has, if you ever played Hangman as a kid where you drew that stick figure, well, the constellation has a sort of a hangman shape to it, and it hangs in the sky just sort of beneath and right near the constellation of Cassiopeia the Queen. So you want to look in that sort of general direction. It's from that direction, because of the way the Earth is moving around the sun, relative to that stream of debris, it's in the direction of Perseus that the meteors will seem to radiate. They'll seem to come from the direction of Perseus and then streak across the sky. And one other thing, too. Generally, with meteor showers, they're better after midnight. And the reason for that has to do with bugs in your car.
Okay.
Not in your car, but bugs and your car. If you're driving down the road and you pass through a swarm of bugs, maybe there's a bug who's flying really, really fast and he smashes himself into your rear window. But that's pretty rare. Instead, all the bugs are going to hit the front window, right, as you're sailing along. Well, as the Earth circles around the sun, there's a leaning edge to the Earth and there's a trailing edge to the Earth. And it's after midnight that we're riding on the leading edge. So the Earth has turned after midnight so that now, well, you're out in front. And those bugs, let's call them meteors, you're going to see lots of them after midnight, where it's only the ones moving fast enough to catch up with the Earth that you're going to see in the early evening hours.
Do you have a favorite Perseid watching memory, Tom?
Actually, I do. I used to live in Connecticut and used to travel up to Springfield, Vermont each year for this big star party, the oldest, I think, continuously running star party anywhere, Stellafane. I can remember being on Observatory Hill, aptly named. Has a beautiful old observatory built in the 30s up at the top of the hill there. And I can remember being there over the Perseid meteor shower one year and seeing, I don't know how many fireballs, just sort of one after another streak across the sky. And of course, it was during this big annual star party, and there were hundreds of astronomers with their telescopes set up, but nobody was looking through the telescopes. They were just watching the sky naked eye, just seeing this spectacular show overhead.
That's Tom Wilmich, director of the Illinois State University Planetarium. He says for great Perseid meteor shower viewing, consider going to the observatory at the Sugar Grove Nature Center near Funk's Grove. I'm Laura Kennedy.